You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, we talked to a number of Oahu voters just after they cast their vote at Honolulu Hale, and the common thread we heard was concern about the divisiveness. Bruno Rodriguez from Honolulu is a new resident who shared his fears.
I'm afraid of what's happening on the mainland. Like, I know that there's things going on in Oregon and Philadelphia and all the other states, and I know that a lot of people don't know about it, and so that kind of concerns me because my parents live in D.C., and so that kind of bugs me, but I feel like Hawaii is probably the safest, most neutral place. I'm concerned that radical people, I don't know, my view is that it's the left that is radical, but I mean, I could be wrong. There's also people from the right that seem radical as well, but it just bugs me that, you know, unstable. California is also talking about instability, and so that kind of bugs me. I feel like people here are pretty level-minded, you know. I talked to some of my Democratic friends, and they seem like they have valid points. My Republican friends, they seem like they have valid points. I feel like people here, compared to the mainland I just came from, they seem much more reasonable with their opinions.
And Frank from Honolulu says he feels he has reason to worry. He took part in a Trump rally at the Aloha Tower over the weekend where he says he felt harassed. Police were there to control the situation when one woman got physical.
I mean, that's the problem, that Aloha Tower was trying to wave some Trump signs and they came in and then they started coming in between us. They started cussing at us and swearing at us and throwing a hissy fit. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're crazy. They haven't seen us go crazy yet.
And so what do you want to say to folks?
You know, just vote, get along, man. Why can't we work together as Americans? I don't come from Iran. I don't come from Somalia. I love our country. Even though we went through a lot of hard times, we gotta work together. We gotta live and love together. We can't do this kind of stuff like this.
And Nanakuli voter Kaluna Ho'omanas, he says he tried to look at the issues rather than personalities when it came down to deciding the presidential race.
Yeah, it's divided, but I hope people just stop looking at the gossip and just look straight at, you know, what's it actually about, you know.
What's guiding you in the president's race?
For me, it's mostly looking at what they're both are for, their platform. And for my personal beliefs have to align with whatever the platform is, not because I like the guy.
Those are just some of the voices from Honolulu Hale who voted there this week. And joining us this morning for The Long View is our political analyst, Neil Milner. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
So what's your take on the presidential race?
Well, my take on the presidential race is that we're not going to know anything definitively for probably a few days. It looks better for Biden right now than it did, say, last night. He's doing better in Michigan and Pennsylvania, it appears. There's going to be a big blue surge. We talked about a big blue surge. Blue surge has to do with who is most likely to vote vote by mail and who is most likely to vote in person. Republicans are, especially in Pennsylvania, far more likely to have voted in person, and Democrats far more likely to vote. So there's this chunk of votes in Pennsylvania. So if this were a normal election, what you would have is the incumbent President Trump doing better than a lot of the polls thought he would do, although the polls in some ways were actually pretty good. And you'd have a close election, and then it would be settled either by the way we normally settle a close election, which is the candidate concedes when they see that they don't have the electoral votes, or maybe there's a few challenges in court in regard to or recounts or something like that. This may be totally different because of what the president has said last night and what he said before, that he's won. His behavior is not quite that consistent. They're going to have a recount in Wisconsin. But the fact that he's said that, and he's mobilizing people along those lines, which essentially is an authoritarian gesture as far as I can see, means that the whole process is not normal. It may be fraught and so on. But it's obviously closer than what most people thought.
Right.
It's still mainly about one side hating the other side, essentially. Voters nowadays tend to make their choices on the basis of defeating the opposing candidates. It's called negative party identification.
I think what we saw with the polls, the indications from the polls was that, perhaps Biden would have a wider lead.
Yes.
And I think even the Republicans were kind of surprised at, how well they did, that they were holding key races. In the Senate.
Yes.
So I think the president was probably emboldened by some of those results that he saw.
Well, it doesn't take much to embolden the president. That may be the case. But on the other hand, he's been saying what he was going to do about not losing the election before that time. I think that, the way you describe it was certainly correct, that the polls had Biden winning by a larger margin, but the careful ones, the people who use polls careful, always said there's still this chance that's not going to happen. So, but if you think about it this way, that that there always was, even among the careful people who said Trump is likely to lose, the careful analysts who said that, always said that there were going to be some states where the predictions made that they would be close enough that there's a margin of error. I guess that's the way to say that when you have polling statistics. And what you have is in a lot of places the election was closer than what the pollsters predict. That's what you had in various states and some in the upper Midwest. But the fact of the matter is you can't tell yet. I mean, Trump is behind in the popular vote. I think he's about 2 percentage points behind, which is less than a lot of the pollsters had, but still around Clinton area. So, people can fight about the polls and worry about the narrative that they have that would explain the difference, but we don't know very much about it so far. But the only thing that seems to be the case is that Trump did much better in South Florida, or you might say Biden did much worse, because in the Miami Beach area, he didn't draw nearly as higher percentage as Hillary Clinton did. But it's way too early to discover what the reasons are. The formative thing that people need to know right now is that that nobody gets to declare who the winner is in any official capacity except in December when the Electoral College meets on the basis of states certifying the elections, the results of the election. And if he, if no one is going to concede here, that means essentially nothing officially, but it could mean a lot of trouble.
You had mentioned, a recount in some cases.
Yeah.
And I know, that's key because, we're talking about who also then controls the Senate, based on some of those other races.
Yeah. The recount thing, of course, like almost all election administration, it's the federal government has got nothing to do with it, and there aren't federal laws about it. Each state has their own recount laws, the way we do here. Wisconsin, for example, where the Trump people have asked for a recount, they have it as, so if you're within 1 percentage point difference, which they are there, then you get an automatic recount. You don't have to give a reason why. And I think if you're in a half a point, the state pays for the recount rather than anything else. Other states have different things. Remember, Hawaii, until very recently, didn't really have a no-excuse recount, where you really had to petition with reasons to get a recount, and Hawaii's changed that. So one of the things that's certainly likely to happen, and this happens in almost any election that's close, you're going to have some kind of recounts. That's what you, in effect, had in Florida during 2000, the year 2000, which became dramatically important because it decided who was going to win the whole thing. So that's a kind of ordinary thing, and even some litigation is ordinary. But my guess is that this process is going to carry itself out for a number of weeks, and partly because there's going to be challenges to the eligibility to which votes get to be counted. There's no question you can count all the votes. The question that will be argued probably has to do with whether the votes are acceptable or not.
And, you know, I think in 2000, I think we had to wait like a month.
Yeah, sure. Million. Well, you can't wait past mid-December. I mean, it gets really tricky. The Constitution has certain dates in it about when a person, you know, it says when the Electoral College is supposed to meet, what happens if it doesn't. You're going to have a president in place by the inaugural. It could be, frankly, it could be someone like Nancy Pelosi because of the way the rules work if you can't select. But I think that, that however people feel one way or the other about their candidate over the next few days, they shouldn't feel like that's a permanent feeling, because I think there's going to be a whole lot of things going on. And as far as the violence is concerned, what that person you interviewed said, it's a little early to know, but, you know, there's certainly the emotions were this high, and that the level of fear and loathing that each side has for the other has been well documented and has been around for a long time. It's, you know, it's kind of an exaggerated polarization. There are a percentage of people, probably around 20%, according to some polls, that suggest that are willing really to use violence under some circumstances. So we're certainly just barely into the woods.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that cooler heads prevail all around across the country, and then we'll wait to see the outcome. But thanks so much, Neil.
Sure. Take care.
Neil Milner is a retired political science professor and a contributing editor for our segment, The Long View.